Hello, world. It's Mike Traverso with the Friends That Code podcast, where I get a chance to showcase some amazing people I know that just happen to write code for a living. Folks, today's guest wasn't always a developer, but graduated from the Iron Yard as a front-end developer. The Iron Yard was a coding bootcamp that taught mobile, full stack, web development, UI, UX, and data science. Shortly after starting her professional coding career, she joined Women Who Code and became a director of the local chapter. In her roles at Women Who Code, she'd organize fantastic events for women interested in technology in the Tampa and St. Pete area. Later in her career, she'd find herself back at the Iron Yard. Now working at the Iron Yard, she was the operations unicorn that helped that organization run. The Iron Yard was a special place. It served a very meaningful role in the community, acting as a tech public house, if you will, hosting meetups, helping budding developers find jobs, and more. It was a real bummer when they closed. But here's the thing. A few people on that staff, including today's guest, said no. They just said no. They weren't going to let what the Iron Yard brought to the community go away. So they undertook the process to create their own coding school. Their own coding school. Called Suncoast Developers Guild, today's guest is one of the founding members of that school. The Suncoast Developers Guild is both coding school and tech community hub. On the tech community hub side, they partner with local meetup groups and host events in their meetup space. On the coding school side, they host boot camps or cohorts every 3 to 4 months. And today's guest is the campus director of this fantastic organization here in the Tampa St. Pete area. Between her work with Women Who Code, the Iron Yard, and Suncoast Developers Guild, giving back, organizing the tech community is just in her DNA. I actually met her on Twitter when I found out that she was organizing and volunteering to teach kids how to program with Scratch. Without further ado, developer, teacher, project coordinator, tech community volunteer and supporter, operations unicorn, Suncoast Developer Guild, campus director, conference organizer, and all-around awesome lady. Today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Catherine Trammell. Catherine, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
I want to thank you for making me sound really impressive.
My pleasure. I want to thank you for taking the time to hang out with me today. I know you're incredibly busy, and we're going to get to why you're incredibly busy. Besides the regular just stuff that you've got going on, we'll get to a little bit why that's more so today in a little bit. But Catherine, I ask all of my guests to tell us what they do for a living. So if you don't mind indulging me, what do you do for a living, if you don't mind?
A little bit of everything. I wear 16 hats right now. So as campus director, I handle everything from our incoming students to dealing with our students that are on campus and helping them with their soft skills and their career support. And then I do the career support after they graduate. So reaching out to companies on their behalf, writing letters of recommendation. I'm also the community liaison for all the meetups and events and things that we have going on.
Excellent. And that is a lot of hats for one unicorn to wear.
Well, luckily I look good in hats.
Awesome. Okay. So, before you started developing, right, I know you had a job in technology, but it wasn't actually writing code. So what got you into wanting to write code?
Yeah. It probably started at least 10 years ago. I was a project coordinator for a website redesign back when I lived in Michigan. And I was that person who could speak the language of the developers, and I understood what the marketing side wanted. And I was lucky enough to meet some really awesome developers that kind of showed me what they did behind the scenes. And that really just sparked my interest. And when I moved down to St. Pete and I saw the Iron Yard, it was kind of, I had this opportunity and I just didn't want to pass it up.
Cool. And that's quite a jump though, from Michigan to Florida. I mean, did you come down to Florida for that specific, or was it just kind of you moved down here and that was here?
Yeah, moved down here because my husband got a new job down here. So that's why we originally relocated. And he happened to be working in the building across the street from where the Iron Yard was and heard about it and kind of said, hey, you've been talking about this. Here's this school, and kind of pointed me in the right direction.
That's so serendipitous. That's really cool. Awesome. So you come down here, you sign up for the Iron Yard, you get going. Tell us about that experience that you had with the Iron Yard program.
Well, first I had no idea what I was getting into. Like, they can tell you how stressful it is and how you're going to work. And you're like, yeah, I got it. And, it's a whole different environment than like normal school. So it's very intense. And even our program now that I'm campus director for is still very intense. But it's hands-on, immersive. You're getting lectures and you're getting that knowledge, and then you have to put it to work. So you very much have to be in it and really just live it for 3 full months.
Cool. So you graduate so you graduate through the Iron Yard program, and that's, again, that intense program. What do you think the hardest part of it was? I mean, besides obviously just the constant kind of, immersiveness of it, that you're always in it, because I mean, you really only have like 3 or 4 months, right, to learn a whole, language and how to execute and build a project. So what was it that you found maybe the most challenging and maybe the most rewarding?
I think probably the most challenging is just finding that confidence in yourself, because it is so much, and you kind of get out of the program and you get that squirrel mentality of, oh, there's something new here. Oh, there's this. Oh, I should learn this. And it's finding that focus of what you want to do. And I think that's something that I really tried to come out of the program with, is a focus of what did I enjoy the most. So I learned front end, which was basically, back then it was HTML, CSS, JavaScript. We learned Backbone, Underscore, and then React. And that was a lot to throw at somebody. So I really found that I loved the way making the sites look exactly how they should. So I stuck more to the HTML, CSS side of things. And that was kind of my niche, where I was my happy place and I wanted to grow there. And that's really something that was a strength that I found in myself, is picking that like decision of, this is what I want to do, and focus there.
Excellent. As I was hearing you mention all of those technologies, that's a lot for 3 or 4 months, especially, for someone who goes into it not maybe knowing any of them, right? I mean,
Yeah, they definitely threw a lot at us. Luckily nowadays we refined the program. So even my current students, they still learn HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and React, and they're learning .NET for the back end, but it's a little bit more focused for them, where like I had 3 different types of ways to write JavaScript thrown at me, and that really threw me off. So we've refined that, so it helps them focus a bit more than what opportunity I had.
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, because anything you could do kind of streamline that process definitely makes it easier. Perfect. So you graduate from the Iron Yard, and you start working professionally as a coder, software developer, and then you start volunteering with Women Who Code. Tell us about that organization and what you were doing there. Because that's a fantastic organization.
Yeah, Women Who Code is awesome. And I'm actually sad that I don't get to be a part of it as much as I was before. But I had the ability to be a code leader with a dear friend of mine, Sarah Veseloff, who's in the Tampa Bay area. And it was just an opportunity, especially for someone straight out of the school, to kind of make that impact on the community and show other women that, hey, you can do this. And that's where I really enjoyed the most time of it. Cause like I couldn't give them instruction on classes and how to do all these things that I don't know yet, but being able to say, hey, you know what? I was in your shoes and I know how scary it can be. You can do this, and pass it on, and kind of like just keep showing more and more women that that's an opportunity out there, and having that impact really made a difference for me. And we have some fabulous women that are running it still. So they're still doing meetups and local events. And it's just nice to see that it stayed strong in the Tampa Bay area, and that I was at least a part of it at some point.
Yeah. And when you mentioned staying strong, I mean, this group, especially down here in Tampa, I mean, they don't, it's like there's not a month that's missed and without at least one meetup that goes on, which is fantastic because you have that rhythm where people can know, oh, okay, there's definitely going to be a meetup this month. I wonder what's happening. And as opposed to, you know, something that doesn't happen and a couple of, you know, weeks go by and maybe a month or two, and is it still a group anymore? But yeah, so they are definitely, they're active. They're always doing cool stuff. Definitely encourage anybody who's out there, especially women who, you know, have it either in the Tampa, St. Pete area or elsewhere, find your Women Who Code group and get into it. And they also do, online courses, or I wouldn't say online courses, but a lot of groups post their sessions online, and Women Who Code nationally, I think, sponsors different events. I know I spoke with Keisha Williams, a week or so ago, and she was mentioning that they were sponsoring an AI hackathon where people were encouraged to come in and learn machine learning, write an application to help battle some aspect of COVID-19. So, you know, mind blowing kind of stuff that they're organizing.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a lot of great things, and they try to offer a lot of free options for folks. So they're fantastic.
Yep. So you definitely seems like you have this passion for helping developers and just people in general, because like I said, after you moved on from that position that you were in, I don't know if I can get into the Mad Mobile position. And the reason I say that is because I don't know if you want to put that out there. It's funny because I think I might have applied to Mad Mobile back then, around the same time you were working there. So that's kind of fun.
Mad Mobile is kind of like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like everyone's either applied there, worked there, or like known somebody. So they just have that niche in the area. But no, I'm not afraid to talk about them at all. I met amazing developers when I worked there, and I had it was my first opportunity to be a developer, and I learned so much. So I definitely walked away with it as a positive for me, as like, you know, it gave me such an impact of what I knew, how much I wanted to learn, and where I wanted to go from there. So it was a great experience for me overall.
Yeah. And they are one of the bigger employers. And I think that's why they have that Kevin Bacon effect here in Tampa.
I think so.
But so you move on from that position and you move into a role at the Iron Yard. So that's gotta be a little strange, right? Cause you went there, you had a few jobs after there, you know, as a developer, you came back to kind of, you know, help run operations at the Iron Yard. What was that like?
It was like coming home. It was kind of the perfect fit for me because it allowed me to use my tech side that I loved and that I was still growing in. And it let me use all those skills that I had beforehand and just merge them together perfectly. So I think that's why it felt so right to come back to the school, even though it took me away from day-to-day development.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, running a tech hub and for all these meetups, I mean, because I was one of those meetups that came through there. And then on top of that, making sure that the school ran smoothly. So, you know, kudos to all that, the work that you do, that you did for Iron Yard. But unfortunately, the Iron Yard kind of, you know, went away a few years back. And out of that, though, came this amazing thing. And I remember I was sitting at this conference where, you know, you and Tony Warren and a few other folks kind of helped announce this. And out of this came this Suncoast Developer Guild. What is the guild, and is there kind of an inside story about how this came about?
Yeah. So Suncoast Developers Guild actually started up prior to the school. So it started, I think it was the end of 2014 or the beginning of 2015. Our CEO, Jason Perry, and some of the other local developers were kind of talking, and they had a holiday party, and they realized there was all these meetups out there that have great developers, but nobody talked to each other. They didn't have a common place to come and kind of relate and ask questions and just really make a community. And that's where it really started. So it started with a web page and a Slack channel. And we still have the Slack channel for the community so that everyone can come together and kind of just really get to know each other, no matter if you're a Python or a WordPress or a JavaScript person or anything in between. You have this safe space to come in and kind of learn from each other and share ideas and have all this commonality that is just out there and kind of brought together.
So that's the organization for the community aspect of it.
Yep.
But then you guys decided you're going to start a coding school. So right away, it's got to be way easier to find a job, after Iron Yard goes away, than it is to stand up an entire coding school, which you guys have. And it's amazing that you guys have done that, because it's such an, I wouldn't even know where to begin with something like that. The getting accredited to run the courses that you run, finding the commercial real estate space. I mean, just that one aspect is daunting. So, I mean, what was the inspiration for that?
Yeah, I think it came down to when the Iron Yard was closing, and we saw the impact that it was having on the community, and our team loved working with each other. So it was just kind of, why are we going to let this go? And we had a good foundation with kind of how the Iron Yard built up its classes, and we had been through the licensing process with them, and we understood what the state wanted, because we're licensed through this Florida CIE. And so we had an idea, and we had that foundation. So it was kind of like, we're not starting from brand new. We don't have to research all of this. We just kind of have to restart and build off what we already had and make it our own. So it made it a little less scary, but it was definitely a lot of work. And I was lucky enough to, I actually had to go off and get a job as a developer and help my family during the time. So I didn't have to do all the paperwork. I got to come back to the team. So I skipped the really, really hard part. But I know it was a lot of stress for them and a lot of work, but it was kind of that it worked so well with what we loved. And we loved, the entire team loved impacting the community. We loved changing lives and helping folks find these careers. So it just felt like a natural thing that we couldn't let go of. And that's kind of why they just pushed ahead and why we have a school today.
On behalf of the entire Tampa St. Pete tech community, thank you. I mean, because the environment that you guys provide is such a welcoming, positive environment for all of these different groups to come through. And I think the tie-in that everybody, I would say a lot of people have with Women Who Code, it really helps foster getting people, getting women, getting, people of color, getting them into different, groups as well. I just think it's really fantastic. And then, having a space for all these people to come and meet, which is very hard for a lot of meetups, and you guys provide that. So just, it's fantastic. And then on top of that, the coding school where you're helping improve, hundreds of lives a year, running through this course, all the different courses that you offer. So just, it's fantastic. And I want to ask, you call every group of people that comes through in a class, you guys call them a cohort. And, according to Merriam-Webster, because I looked this up, because I wanted to make sure I understood exactly what it was, but it's a group of individuals having a statistical factor in common. So is there a reason why you decided to use the word cohort, or is it just kind of
a cohort? I'm sure there's some long drawn out reason why someone at one point decided it. It's actually left over from the Iron Yard. We continued it on because we still support all of our Iron Yard grads, even though they're not technically Suncoast grads. They're still part of our family. So if they need any help finding a job or anything, they reach out to me and I'm there to help them with questions and stuff like that. So we kept the cohort wording because that's what the Iron Yard used. And so now we're going on to we're graduating cohort 18 right now, and it started back in cohort one with the Iron Yard. So it just kept it cohesive and blended well together.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. I can't say kudos enough, because I don't know another group of people who like each other that much that you want to do this and then do it and then do it so well. So, and then on top of that, so when people are like thinking, if people hear this and they're thinking, well, I want to maybe sign up for the Suncoast, you know, Developer Guild and get, go through the courses, the amount of support that you get afterward, I mean, and that's really what, you know, why a lot of people go to college. You know, people go to college to be not just for the degree necessarily, but for those job placement, you know, services that they have, and the alumni, you know, mixers that they have, and all of that. You get that here, in so much abundance. It's ridiculous.
We definitely try our hardest on that side, but it's kind of as communities fluctuate, like you have to figure out like when they're available and things like that. But it definitely, we have alums that are in our Slack, and they answer questions, and they ask questions, and they try to be there as much as they can. So it does make it very much worth it.
Well, yeah, even just the fact that you're supporting Iron Yard students still, that's very impressive, very impressive. So how many cohorts have you guys had as, you know, running as the Suncoast Developer Guild?
Yep. So if I did my math right, we should be our ninth cohort, because we started with number 10 officially, and we're graduating number 18 right now.
And an average number of people in each cohort?
We're probably about 12 to 13 on average. So yeah, they're not big classes. They're a good size where you can kind of get that attention from the instructor. I think our largest we've had was 17. But really, we try to tap it out at 20 at the most, just so we don't get it too large where people aren't getting that one-on-one time they need.
That's still a lot of people. I mean, because, you know, in such a short amount of time.
Yep. Yeah. But luckily we have a great team that is awesome at supporting them. So we work our butts off for them all during the time that they're with us and even afterwards. But it works out in the end.
Excellent. And at the end of each cohort is a demo day, and all of the students have, you know, I imagine have to work on, you know, a student project to demonstrate that they've, you know, of all the things and technologies that they've learned. Have you had a favorite project that you've seen on a demo day that's just blown you away?
Oh, that's really hard. There's probably been a couple that I remember the most. We've had one where it was a HippoPop tracker. So if you go to the HippoPop store and you wanted to remember what flavors you tried, she had all of those, and that was beautiful. We've had one where a student was actually doing a flight tracker for, I believe it was for the Air Force, the base down here. So I didn't even know that was possible. I was like, that shouldn't be allowed to be done. But no, it was awesome. And we actually have one that's graduating this right now. He's doing Smash Brothers, where you can put in the moves and things like that. And I don't know a lot about Smash Brothers, but it was so amazing, like, to see the work that he put into it, and it looks beautiful. So those are probably the three that are on the top of my mind right now.
Excellent, excellent. So speaking of demos, you mentioned you've got demo day kind of coming up, but I think this year, and I believe this is the first year that you've kind of turned demo day into something much larger and much more encompassing of the community, right? I mean, tell us what you're doing this year.
Yeah. Well, we're constantly trying to evolve and change. So with this cohort 18, we're actually doing a community conference, and it's free. It's online using our Twitch. That's where we're going to be live streaming it. And we reached out to the community members to get some folks that wanted to talk about different topics. You're going to be one of the awesome speakers that we have. But it's an opportunity, because we have demo days, and there's so many boot camps out there that do the exact same thing. And people are getting tired of seeing, okay, I come in and I go through and everybody shows me their app, and It's brand new for all the students, but when you've been to five or six of them, it starts to feel the same. So when we switched online because of COVID, it really impacted how we did demo day. And we learned from our previous one for cohort 17 that just sticking with the norm doesn't work. So we wanted to reinvent it, bring in the community, get more involvement, and make it more fun. So you have different things you can hear about, and then you can see our students and see the awesome projects that they make and kind of learn about their process and what they accomplish over the 3 months in our program. So it's a nice blend of, you know, demoing them and advertising our students and saying, hey, look how awesome they are because we're so proud of them. And giving that community side of, you know, people want to practice presenting. They want to be able to go off and do bigger conferences. We're a nice, small, free conference that they can kind of get that practice and get known in the community and kind of build that up. And it just works out overall for everybody. So, like, it was a win-win for us. Like, we couldn't find a way of reason for not to give it a try. So, yeah, this is our first one.
Yeah, and you've got some big names too that are going to be speaking. I won't get into it, but I will tell folks to go to suncoast.io/conference. Did I get that URL right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So definitely, I mean, check that out. And I know this is going to air tomorrow, which is the day before the conference. And I'll make sure I keep tweeting about it. And putting it up on LinkedIn because it's such a cool idea. Like you mentioned, you know, putting in the demos in other talks keeps it so interesting for you know, so many other reasons. For all different types of attendees, everybody gets something out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Because the speakers get to see really cool demos, and maybe the speakers are working at a job where they're hiring. And, you know, so getting more people, more eyes on those demos is a great way to do it. And then I like the streaming this year. I mean, obviously, you have to do it this year, but I would love to see this kind of continue down the road. This is an amazing idea that you guys had this year.
Yeah, we're definitely hoping to be able to do it at the end of each cohort. So at least three times a year, if not four, because we think it's a great way of getting all these different speakers out there and giving them an opportunity. And it just falls in nicely with the end of our program. So we're definitely going to be doing this again. So probably look around November 13th, 14th. We'll be having another one for you if you missed this one.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And you know, hopefully some of the graduates move on from this and you know, move on to speaking at conferences like DevFest Florida, you know, which is also, they've got their CFP up for this year as well, another virtual conference. But so, you know, I've run a conference before all in person, but I've never run a virtual conference before. How are you finding just the logistics of putting that together?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of lessons to learn. So we've been using Zoom for all of our students so that we can lecture with them. So we're using Zoom to do all the presentations and we're streaming it live on Twitch. So we actually had a practice today just to kind of get the students used to it. So it's a lot more coordination, I think. I've never really had to do a conference in person yet. So this is my first one being involved with the planning of it. But it's kind of setting the right expectations for everyone so that they know what they're walking into has been really important for us. And we've even had to tweak the expectations that we had that we shared. Just because technology is limited in some ways and you just kind of have to go with it and figure it out as you go. So we're definitely learning and it's working our best and we'll probably be learning even up until November when we do it again. But it's been fun and stressful. Yeah. But you know, it's worth it. So we're just going with it and putting on the best event we can.
I'm sure it's going to be an amazing event. You know, and to that, to your point about, you know, any kind of glitches, technical glitches, things like that. Yesterday, Microsoft ran their MS Create event. You know, this is a global event that they ran all day. You know, it was a bunch of mini talks and a workshop at the end. And they had technical glitches just getting off the ground. So, you know, and that's Microsoft. So I wouldn't, it's going to happen. and you just try to, like you said, roll with it, and you're good to go.
Yeah, well, good. We're good with rolling with technical glitches, so I feel like we're already one step ahead of Microsoft, maybe.
Well, I mean, the fact that just the fact that you took the students aside and said, look, you know, here's how we're going to practice giving it so that you're used to, you're used to giving the talk with the technology. A lot of, you know, sometimes conference speakers don't go through that length of practicing and just kind of show up and say, where do I go? I think doing some of these things ahead of time is just going to set yourself up for success. So I'm knock wood that you'll be all set on Saturday.
Thank you.
So Catherine, I want to talk about some kind of retrospective questions, but I want to make sure that we've covered everything that you possibly could want to talk about the conference, and I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think you've missed anything. Definitely, okay. Just want to remind people that it is free. So just go and go on Twitch and find Suncoast Developers Guild and join us if you have time. And we just love to just share it with as many folks as possible. But no, I think you did a great job.
Okay. Well, you did a great job. I'm trying to get the information out of you. So, Twitch, I'm going to put the Twitch channel, up in the show notes. So people will just be able to click that and get to, you know, streaming once they log into their Twitch account.
Awesome.
All right. Perfect. I'm looking forward to it. I saw the speakers who are going to be there. Some of the speakers look amazing. I'm looking to some of the talks myself. I'm looking forward to some of the demos, especially after the way you hyped up, you know, some of the previous things and some of the things that you say that will be there Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to it. I really can't wait. And then I've done a couple of virtual conferences this year, and I want to say, they all had their glitches, again, because it's new, you know, you're not in the room, you're doing everything off of this new technology. So I'm not worried about you guys, you know, pulling this off and being fantastic with it. I'm really not, especially like when I hear that you're practicing over, in different technology, that's right away you win. So, okay. I want to get into some retrospectives though. So, you obviously work very closely with young developers, and you've developed code for a while. You've transitioned doing, into other things, but you're a developer and you get to see what these younger developers are doing. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing younger developers struggle with? And do you have any advice or a philosophy that you encourage the developers in either the guild or, in your cohorts or just in general that they follow?
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to say there's a lot of struggles, but there's some big ones. I think the biggest one that a lot of them experience is, we've kind of talked about, you and I talked personally about imposter syndrome. But it's when they're looking at job descriptions. And some of these job descriptions out there, they want like 10 years of experience and they call it a junior developer. And that really, it shakes their comfort of applying for positions. So it's something that we really push to them saying, hey, you know what, like read it over. If it says 2 to 3 years, ignore that. Go and see, can you do these things? Can you do 50% of it? And can you learn the other 50%? Is it something that you'd be interested in learning? And then move forward and apply. Take that chance because, you know, if you don't take the chance, you're telling yourself no before they even have a chance to see your resume. So it's kind of getting that comfort zone of, you know, I don't have to have everything on their checklist, because a lot of times those checklists, they're not realistic, or they're these giant wish lists that are impossible. I mean, you've seen the stories on Twitter of, you know, people who wrote a language and they can't even apply to a job because they want more experience than the person that wrote the darn language. So that's probably one of the biggest like struggles is like, you know, you don't have to know everything. Go in, be confident with what you do know. It's okay to say you don't know something, but you're willing to learn it. And, you know, tell them how I can learn it. Like, you know, I've spend, especially our students, they spend 12 weeks and they learn so many different aspects of this, these languages. And it's like, you didn't know those when you started off. So you took 3 months to learn this. If you need to go and do a Ruby job, tell them, hey, in 3 months, I can learn what you need me to learn to be able to be a junior developer. Give me that time to get in there, get hands-on, take these, do these tutorials. I can get there because they've learned how to learn through our program. And especially people who are self-taught, like they go through a lot just to figure out these things. And if they can figure it out on their own, they can figure it out on the job too. So like, don't knock yourself down and take those opportunities, take those chances and go for it.
Yeah. And something that resonated there with me was that don't say no to yourself before they do. You know, don't you shut yourself out of an opportunity before you actually try to attain that opportunity. And that's the thing. And you talk about some of these, you know, what these recruiters will put out there as far as job specs. And a lot of the times these job specs that you mentioned, they're being written by people who might not necessarily know the technology. And they're kind of given a hodgepodge list of things that they would like and, or copying and pasting things. Cause you know, everybody's in a rush to get something out. That position needs to get filled, which is why you see things sometimes like, you know, we need 20 years experience in a language that exists, has only existed for 5 years, you know, things like that. And it's just, it really is sad when you see that, because it's something that can totally be avoided, but you're right. I mean, have that get that perseverance and know, listen, I will not let myself say no to me. Let them say no. And I'll deal with that then, you know, I'll see what I have to do after they say no to me, but I'm going to go and make sure that I give it, you know, 110%, and, you know, worst case scenario, I don't get it, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for every one of those opportunities that you don't get, it's sometimes it's for a good reason, you know, so always look on that bright side. Maybe it wasn't the best place for you to be at that moment in your career.
Yeah. And there's always lessons that you can learn from these, even the no's, like even if you did an interview and it didn't go well, there's something out of it that you can get from it. Did they ask a question that you didn't know the answer to? Okay. Now you can go and figure that out and learn it and move on. And now, you know, for the next time. So like, there's always those pluses that you can get out of even the situations that don't go the way you want.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like you say, I mean, it's the F word is such a strong word, but if you don't learn, the only way to really learn is through failing, you know? So through failure, you will learn a lot more than you will learn from succeeding.
Yep.
So, okay. That was really good advice. I like that. What about some advice that you'd have for your younger self, now that you've had all of your career experiences, what advice would you give your younger self?
I think it probably hit me the most this year following my own path. Like, I can't judge where I'm going or where I'm going to end up based on other people. And I think it really resonated because I found my favorite quote this year. It's your own path you make with every step you take. That's why it's your path. And that's from Joseph Campbell. And I happened to find it because I was trying to explain to some students, you know, they were like, oh, I'm in this program and I'm learning development, but I don't know if I want to write code. And I'm like, there's all these other career opportunities. And they're like, but I came to this program to write code. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's your path. So I think that really hit me because 5 years ago when I went to the Iron Yard, I didn't think I was going to be running a code school. I had actually worked in education before this for a special ed department as like their administrative assistant. And when I left there, they're like, oh, you're going to go into go to another school. And I'm like, oh no, I'm getting out of education. I'm never touching education again. And here I am, just in a different type of education. But it's kind of really understanding, like, that's where I'm supposed to be. And it's okay if it doesn't match up to somebody else. Like, they have their own path and I'm perfect where I am.
Yeah, as long as you're happy with where you where you are and what you're doing and who you're working with, I mean, why are you worried about the next person?
Yeah,
that doesn't pay. You're just going to drive yourself nuts.
Absolutely.
Doesn't pay. Okay, here's another fun one. What advice would you think your older self would give you now if you could travel back in time?
Take more time to have fun. I work way too hard right now. And even Jason and Gavin, who are part of my team members, they tell me, take time off. And I'm like, I can't. I got too much stuff to do. So I think definitely I could see it now. And I have people who are luckily guiding me to trying to force it on me now. But saying, you know what, go out, do those things that you enjoy, have fun. I'm not as young as I was 20 years ago. And so in another 20 years, I don't want to look back and be sitting there going, why didn't I do that?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that revelation's a little tough to have now in the era of COVID, because you really can't go anywhere to have that much fun. But you're right though. I mean, sitting back and relaxing and doing less work is always a good thing. Clearing your mind and not running that race. It's really good advice to give.
Yeah. I have to thank COVID. I've actually learned how to take lunch. I did not do that before. And I would have students that would come to me and it would be a meetup and I'd be going, oh my God, I hope this meetup has pizza because I haven't eaten yet today. And they're like, it's 6 o'clock. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man.
So I learned to take lunch. So I'm learning small lessons even with COVID.
See, now I've been remote working for a while. Okay. And just to compare experiences here, I always feel bad taking lunch. Like, you know, it's because you've like, wait, I feel like I'm cheating my employer by moving away from my desk, even though my kitchen is maybe, you know, a lot closer, and having lunch working from home takes up a lot less time than it would if I went to an office and had to go out to get lunch every day. So it's so bizarre how we think these things. And but you're right. Take time for yourself, not just to kind of relax, but to have lunch. Please, please have lunch. I wish I did titles of the podcast, but because that would be a perfect title. Please have lunch. Maybe we'll do it as a subtitle. All right. What's one thing that you do? So this is, I think you just blew this question out of the water here, but I'll ask anyway. What is one thing that you do to use as an escape or clear your mind from writing code or technology in general, or in your case, running a code school?
Well, prior to COVID, I used to try to go out and do photography. Mostly nature. So I try to go out to the parks on the weekends. I'm not quite as good at getting out to do that anymore. Now I fall into, my husband made the mistake of buying a Switch. So now it's Animal Crossing because it's like going out to a park and I can take pictures on it of my little screen, but I don't actually have to go out in this heat and let the mosquitoes have a buffet and sweat like crazy. So it's probably my temporary fix for the moment.
Right. And that's, I think that's a really kind of a cool thing there that you mentioned, that you found a virtual park to hang out in Animal Crossing. Because honestly, let's be honest, you know, being, you know, we're not Floridians by birth. So we're kind of still acclimating to Florida. Right. No matter how long you've lived here, I think if you weren't born here, you're always still acclimating to it. And the weather, I think in the summertime, it just kind of, it tells the natives to stay inside. And the most people that you see out, especially in August, are tourists. Right. So, because it could really be hot and humid and just nasty and rain at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So as a matter of fact, I'm lucky that it's not raining now. Otherwise we'd have to change the room for the pot, you know, for recording here today. But yeah, it would be, and when everything kind of gets back to normal, take your Animal Crossing and go out to a park. So this way you can kind of be in a park while you're in a park. As you were saying that, I was thinking saying it, and it's corny jokes. All right. We want the podcast to be about positivity, right? So this means, you know, folks need to love themselves before, you know, they're able to show love to other developers or people in the community. What about yourself are you most proud of or love the most or use to inspire confidence in yourself? So this is a little bit of self-promotion.
Hold on one quick second,
because I want to establish this. The reason why I'm asking you to self-promote yourself, Catherine, and not a conference or not a code school or not, you know, a tech community, is because, you know, promoting yourself is something that is so hard to do. And I think that when if people need to learn to do this, and so that they can get over those, you know, looking at those job spec sheets and seeing, oh, I'm not qualified. I don't think I'm qualified. I'm not going to bother applying, or I can't have lunch because I'm not up to speed with what so-and-so is up to speed with. So I need to work harder. So it's, that's what the self-promoting part is about, is to help people understand it's okay to be a self-promoter.
Okay. Let's see. Self-promote for myself. I think it's definitely, I have a strength that I didn't realize I had before. I think over, especially the past 5 years since starting my entire kind of real tech journey, I've had a lot of folks who kind of doubted me and kind of had didn't expect much of me. And to see where I've been able to get myself and the strength that I have, you have to look back in your entire journey and say, like, yeah, I did that. And I didn't let that hold me down. And even on my roughest days, like, I still can get up and wear my 16 hats and get the job done. And that's a job that somebody else may not have thought I could do because they don't know who I am. So just knowing I have this inner strength and I can use it to help other people, and that makes me feel even stronger. I think that's something that I would definitely promote about myself.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, I love that you've been able to overcome these things. There's another F word that I'd like to use, but I won't. For people who have doubt on other folks, was it kind of like a toxic kind of work culture or something, or is it something you want to talk about, or?
It's just, you know, when people get into a field and they feel really strong and they feel confident in what they know because they have more experience in it, or because they felt like they pioneered a path on their own. And then they have someone who's come in behind them. Like, it's easy to kind of look down. I see a lot of senior developers do it on like any junior that comes behind them. Like, oh, like they're not as good as me. So it's kind of that overall general, and that falls within any type of field and job. Like, you get those personalities that just kind of, they build up that confidence in themselves, and they don't know how to let other people have that confidence and support them. And that's kind of the journey that I came across, was some folks that did that, and I had to learn how to support myself and push myself through it.
So one, sorry that you had to go through that, but on the other hand, I think, and I don't want to say going through something like that is ever a good thing, but to be, if you're able to come out of it and say that you're stronger for it because you found a way to kind of say, look, I'm not listening to what these dopes are talking about here. I'm going to work harder and, you know, push through all the negativity, all the toxicness, and be able to push through all of that and still come out on the other side, A, awesome, B, knowledgeable, and C, willing to go ahead and help further generations of folks so that they understand not just how to be a developer to do what I'm doing, but how to be a developer and then carry over this, you know, carry over positive attitudes to people that they're working with, colleagues, you know, junior developers when they become senior. So I applaud you for that, and that you've been able to do that, because that is certainly not an easy thing to do. And I apologize on behalf of whatever person. I mean, that's the kind of thing, like I said, when you do a positive podcast like this and something that you're trying to use to inspire folks, it's just cringy, like hearing something like that, because you don't want to hear people have to go through that, but you know that that happens and you just wish it didn't. And there's nothing you could do to change it other than know there are people who have dealt with this, who are dealing with this, and just please push through. You know, if there's a different environment that you can get onto that's more positive, definitely do that. But if you're stuck dealing with this, just know that there is light at the end of that tunnel, and it's your next job or your next school or what have you, and know that you'll be better off for it, because you'll know when you get to that next place, you won't have to take this kind of, you know, stuff for too much longer.
Yeah. Well, and luckily, the bad people out there that cause you to feel this way, there's so many awesome people out there. I have so many developer friends that they're like family to me now, because we just grew together, and we went through some, even if you go through tough times, sometimes you're not the only developer at that company or the only person going through that. And it kind of you can reinforce bonds with other people and find that commonality. And like, I have some developers that they'll never be able to shake me. And that I would never be able to shake them off, because like, we're just family now. And so, yeah, you get the bad, but you also get these amazing people that you can run into that just make an impact and just continue on that path and that journey with you. And it feels awesome in its own way. So it's when you get to that nice balance of the scales of plus and minuses. So
That's good. I mean, so that there is some positiveness to this again. So, all right. Awesome. So I want to just kind of come back and reiterate that, if you're interested, if you're in the Tampa Bay, St. Pete area, and you're listening to this and you're like, what, there is a community of communities out there that is the Suncoast Developer Guild. Yes, there is. And you could go to suncoast.io. And you can hear all about them. And there's a list on the webpage of all the different communities that they've got, everything from women who code to Tampa Bay Android developers to iOS development groups. They're all there. You pick your flavor of development and you will find it. So there's that. Also, Suncoast Developer Guild is also having their very first conference this Saturday, August 1st. It is available to stream on Twitch, and you will be able to see live talks, live code demos, which are always fun to watch, and listen to young students. You kind of give their talk about what they've learned and give some really cool demos of their software. So that'll be fun. Again, it's on Twitch. I'll put that link in the show notes, as well as the suncoast.io. And then I don't think I've forgotten anything.
No, I think the only thing I would add, just because I'd love to share info about the school, is if you go to suncoast.io, if you are looking to learn more about doing a career change, definitely check us out. Even if you're not ready to go through our school and you want some free resources, there's an email on there that you can send to. I'd share free resources with you. So if you just kind of want to get started, reach out to us. We're not one of those salesy group companies or organizations. We're actually a nonprofit or not for profit technically. So we just really want to help folks. So check us out. If you have questions, reach out. No pressure. We'd love to share information and help folks learn any way that works best for them.
Yep. Oh, and another thing, talking about the school, there's also a Suncoast Developers Guild Junior. There are classes, I imagine, for kids with Scratch and HTML and JavaScript. So if you're a developer, you're not a developer, but your kids are interested in that, this is a perfect, perfect example. As a matter of fact, I mentioned before, it was one of it was the first way I met Catherine, was because she was on Twitter asking, you know, to announcing basically, hey, we're running Scratch courses for kids. And I was like, oh, what? That's amazing. Because you don't have that many people that are running courses to teach other people's kids how to write code. And here was one, and they had, I think, maybe 10 kids or something like that. And it was just a really cool experience. for those families to have. And because you're empowering the next generation of folks to be able to see, hey, I'm writing code. Here's on this, it's on the screen. I'm doing this. I'm making these things move around, or I'm making this appear on the screen. So just fantastic. Again, just the positivity. And this is why I wanted to have Catherine on the show, because again, she's a very awesome lady, but also she's doing so much work for the community, along with the entire Suncoast Developer Guild team. So please check them out. The school, the conference, the website, the Twitch stream, we'll get it all out there in the show notes so people can check out all that information on their own time. Catherine, thank you so much for hanging out today. I hope you had a good time.
I did. Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Excellent. Well, we're going to have you back, hopefully, with some of the other folks to kind of maybe talk about, you know, demos and whatnot. Maybe we'll help try to see if we can't, you know, get some folks some jobs, or maybe do this on a regular basis. And you're going to come back and talk about, promote more of the conferences and the demos and whatnot as we go through, hopefully. All right. So, okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Catherine. And thank you all for listening. Next week, we'll be back again with another amazing person that I know that just happens to write code for a living. Until then, be well, everyone.